Hi, friends. It's Vin Scully. It's time for
Dr. Clapper.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper is the former head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai.
The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Saturday mornings from 7 to 9.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai.
Dr. Clapper.
For 32 years. What a big week I had in surgery. Saw so many Weekend Warriors as patients. Always ask them, what's your favorite story? What do you like about the show? A lot of times they talk about Clappervision, certainly. And we're going to do a beautiful Clappervision about Kawhi Leonard and his knee. What about Joel Embiid and his knee? We'll get into that. But people love when I talk about my dad and my mom, the nurse, the carpenter. And tomorrow's Father's Day. I'm going to tell you lots of stories about my dad, Abraham Clapper, in the words of wisdom. Robbie, don't forget the trip of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. He loved that. The bumper music will be filled with father-related songs. But my guest, he's made me so excited. Calling in at 8:15 this whole week, thinking about my guest coming up for this show, is David Smith. He's the superintendent for Joshua Tree, the national park. My wife and I recently visited this park to see the night sky, to see the Joshua trees, to be in the desert. And it was awesome. And so it made me think all week about the magical moments you get when you visit the desert. And it's right here. What a treat. Where do you see the magic of the desert? In the world of art, the world of sports, and in my world of surgery? Well, in the world of art, the world of music, the most famous song about the desert is this one. You're listening to Dewey Bunnell, who wrote the song as a member of the group America, with two high school classmates, teenagers. They actually beat out the Eagles in 1972 for best group, best new up-and-coming group. These guys. And you know why the group is called America? Because they're Americans, but they're high school kids growing up in London. Now, why would Dewey Bunnell write a song about the desert? Because his dad was in the Air Force. He traveled all over the world doing satellite research. And a big part of Dewey Bunnell's life was spent in Vandenberg Air Force Base in the desert. And here he is now in London, raining, cold, foggy, depressed. And one day he just says, I got to mentally get out of here. So he writes a fantasy song about the magic that he remembers about the desert. We're going to get into that magic with my guest at 8:15. And I'm literally going to go through some of the lyrics of the song. And I want to hear what David Smith says. For example, on the first part of the journey, Dewey Bunnell writes, I was looking at all the life. Trust me, I went to the desert. I saw a bunny rabbit. That was it. What kind of life? But the eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know. There's life, a lot of life. He also writes, the heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I didn't hear anything. In fact, the part of visiting the desert that was so great for me was how quiet it was. How these animals, how you survive in these conditions is astounding. It's inspiring, actually. So it made me think, where do you see those challenges of the desert, the magic, in sports? This is unbelievable. Wait till you hear this story. I love football. We love football. This station is the home of the LA Rams. I'm a season ticket holder. We got a brand new stadium. But can you imagine being the Arizona Cardinals? You're in the middle of the desert. How are you going to build a stadium and still want natural turf? It's 120 degrees. You want to stay away from artificial turf as much as you can. How are you going to grow grass indoors in a dome stadium in Arizona, in Glendale, Arizona? Well, in 2003, they broke ground to build University of Phoenix Stadium. Now it's called State Farm Stadium. But here's what you're going to hear about. Why is this new stadium in Arizona, in the middle of the desert, such an iconic landmark stadium? It's not because the roof is retractable, although that's pretty cool. Maybe you don't know this, but I'm about to tell you. The football field is pure natural Bermuda grass. Well, how does it survive in the middle of the desert? You know what these geniuses did? They built the turf, an entire football field, on wheels. It's on the same track wheels that railroad cars are on. And this gigantic football field made of dirt and natural grass, Bermuda grass, rolls out of the stadium into the parking lot where they can water it and the sun can make the grass grow. And then when game time comes, takes about an hour, they press a button and they roll the whole football field outside from the parking lot into the stadium. Can you imagine? What an architectural feat, construction feat it is to meet the challenge of playing football in the desert. You're going to hear that story coming up as well. Awesome. And in my world of surgery, the world and the challenges of the desert are immense. And we'll get into that as well. Clapper Vision about Kawhi Leonard. God bless those Clippers. They won. Clapper. They're now going to have to meet Chris Paul. Let's hope he's healthy enough, having COVID. But hats off. As a Laker fan, hats off to the Clippers to do it without Kawhi Leonard. But why is he out? What's the connection between his 2017 quadriceps injury in his right knee and now his ligament sprain in his right knee? And I'll get into Clapper Vision. The clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. But right now, let's listen to what's so magical about the musical nature of the desert, and why did Dewey Bunnell and how did Dewey Bunnell write this song, A Horse With No Name?
On the first part of the journey,
I was looking at all the life.
There were plants and birds and rocks
and things.
There were sand and hills and rain.
What's the rain?
First thing I met was a fly with
a fly with a buzz.
Sky
did not have clouds. It's blue.
The heat was hot and
the ground was dry.
The air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain.
Yeah, he's not in London anymore.
In the desert, you can't remember your name. Because there ain't no
Weepin' Hell's writing this song as a member of the group America as a teenager. Jerry Buckley wrote a song. He's only 16 years old. You're going to hear from him in a second. And Dan Peek, who just passed away recently, he's gone. But the three of them, remember Sergio Mendez said when he heard two women singing, it inspired him. Nobody had ever done that before. And Sergio Mendez in Brazil, 66, was born. You're not going to hear that again. Two female lead singers. Well, in America, you know what you hear that you never heard before? You hear three acoustic guitars going at the same time. Here's another song of theirs. Dewey Pinnell wrote this song. It's called Ventura Highway because it goes to Ventura. But he says he misspoke. He's actually thinking of the Pacific Coast Highway. Because he remembers being in Southern California and riding along the coast. But the sound. Yeah, Neil Young inspired them. Crosby, Stills, and Nash inspired them. But they're unique. Are these guys? How did it come about? How did they tap into the magic of the desert? I found a great interview from the early 70s when they started. They're on a plane in New Mexico, of all places, and they're being interviewed about how do you write these songs? This is why you should be inspired. Don't let anybody get in your way, particularly the teenagers listening to this show. This is the story of America.
Hey, well, look, they write all their own stuff. I mean, while you're on tour, as you're flying around, do you sit and play with tunes and stuff like that and come up with it? Or do you wait until the tour is over and then get back?
Jerry Beckley's going to answer.
Professionally, we don't really work on material together on the road. No. The road is sometimes a place that you can write. I mean, all of us maybe have written a song on the road. We sometimes get a piano in our room or take a guitar back. But basically, the real construction is done on the periods in between touring. You know, we'll gather all the material we've written, say, over the year and get together for a couple of weeks before we record an album and go through the material and work on it and arrange it as far as the group is concerned.
He's almost 70 now, I think, Jerry Beckley. This is him as a teenager talking to you.
I find it easiest just to write maybe some lyrics on the road or something. You know, it's kind of hard to write unless you just happen to be in
Horse with No Name.
A good stretch or feel prolific for some couple of weeks on the road or inspired. Yeah, we write the nucleus of each song separately and then we bring it together and we add to it or else pun it right off.
So now they ask him, Dewey, all right, this is your process. Why did you write A Horse with No Name, a song about the desert?
A Horse with No Name was such a unique type of sound and song, the whole thing, you know, you know, since then there's been stuff similar, but that was the first. What were you sitting in a bar or what? How did that come to you?
We were in England, the farthest place from a desert possible, I guess. It was just an imaginary thing, you know. Imagine. You're sitting there in England and it's raining outside and you look outside and what would be better than this? Boy, it'd be neat to be in the desert and there's some hot sun.
That's what's so magical about going to the desert. It stays in your head. He wrote this song as a complete fantasy song.
Dewey is definitely a fanatic for deserts. And he'll probably be out looking for rattlesnakes and things.
I'm a reptile freak.
Reptile freak.
Because my aunt. That's
a
long story. When my father, Air Force, his career field was in satellite tracking and missile guidance, so we were on remote Air Force bases all the time. So me and my little brother spent a lot of time out poking in holes and seeing what came out.
There's a nice little tidbit for your story.
Yeah.
And now, all these years later, listen to Jerry Beckley. He lives in Australia part-time now. Give you the history of these three boys getting together to make the group America.
Jerry Beckley and Dewey Bunnell, along with former member Dan Peek, beat the Eagles to take home the Grammy for Best New Artist in 1972 after bursting onto the world stage with a string of hits. Their timeless harmonies are still adored by fans. And Jerry Beckley is with us here live in the studio. Good morning,
pleasure.
Jerry. It is great to have you
Kristen,
here.
Pleasure.
You formed America with school friends Dewey and Dan in 1970, but you weren't even in America. You were in England.
We were sons of American servicemen that were stationed in the London area. And so we were at a high school there for dependents. We met in 68, formed the band in 70, and did the first album there.
Mm, great history.
And your earliest gigs were at the Roundhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, opening for The Who, Pink Floyd, and Elton John.
Yes.
Amazing. You boys were barely out of your teens.
I was 17, I remember, and we sat on stools and we played about 20 minutes of our acoustic stuff, and the crowd went mild. and then Pink Floyd came out with a 90-piece orchestra and choir
and
performed the entire Adam Hart Mother album. So it was quite a contrast.
Wow.
In the new biography of the band, you say that Heartbreak is the greatest inspiration for a song. So I Need You was one of the big hits from your first album.
Yes.
Was that song about a real girl?
I'm afraid it wasn't. No, it's poetic. kind of you use poetic license. In this case, I got lucky early. I was 16 when I wrote that song, and it was our most covered song. You know, all the great classic singers, Johnny Mathis, Andy Williams, they all did covers of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And you were 16?
Yeah.
And here's the best story. She asks him about Horse With No Name, the song about the desert. This is his answer.
If you're in the desert all that time, how come you didn't have time to name the horse?
Well, there was a variety of answers. One was that we named him Frank and we rode him to the bank. but there is now a nice, not an ending to that story, but my partner Dewey and his wife Penny have adopted a wild Mustang and they've named it Noname, No Name.
So they actually
have a horse named Noname now.
That is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
Well, there's a stadium in the middle of the desert in Arizona that has a name. It used to be University of Phoenix Stadium, where the St. Louis Cardinals in 1988 moved to perform and form the Arizona Cardinals. Now it's called State Farm Stadium. How do you make a stadium with natural grass in the middle of the desert? The challenge of the desert, the magic of the desert. We're going to look into it in the world of sports. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
Holy emoji, clap man. Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Holy slip disc.
That's right, Robin. Hear listeners talk about their aches and pains.
Holy hamstrings.
Along with Doc's clapper vision.
Breathe deeply.
And advice to callers.
On your toes, Robin.
So like, follow, and enjoy.
A wise decision.
The Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Frankly, I can think of nothing more stimulating.
What's going on? It's Max. You know there's no better way to start your Saturday morning than with my friend Dr. Clapper and the Weekend Warrior Show.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
My mother is quelling in heaven right now when you say that.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm Belly Slater. Thank you.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed. But I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. That's the great Jerry Beckley singing with his mates, the group America, Sister Golden Hair. Beautiful music. And of all the groups, they're the only group in rock and roll history to take on the magic of the desert, which is today's topic. And joining me at 8:15 is going to be David Smith, the superintendent of Joshua Tree, the magical desert in 29 Palms that you should definitely visit. I particularly plan on staying overnight to see the night sky. You'll see stars you've never seen before. It's awesome. It made me think all week. What about the magic of the desert in the world of sports? Two key parts to the stadium for the Arizona Cardinals. This retractable roof built on an incline. Nobody ever did that before. But for me, the coolest part of battling the desert is natural turf, which is what you want as an orthopedic surgeon. Less injuries. You want that cleat to be in grass, not on artificial turf. We see less injuries because of it. The players enjoy it more. But how are you going to grow grass indoors? You can't. So they roll the whole field outside into the parking lot. Listen to the story of this stadium. We talk all about the Colosseum in Rome, the pyramids of Egypt, all these different great structures that get built. Sounds silly to say it, but I'm here to tell you that stadium in Glendale, Arizona is right on up there with architectural feats that mankind should be proud of. Here's the story of the stadium.
In mega project construction, some things don't come around very often. Out of the Arizona desert sand and 4 years in the making is one of those icons. The $412 million Cardinal Stadium, with its retractable roof and rollout natural turf playing surface, is a first in North America.
Having a first-class stadium with every fan amenity that any modern stadium has, air conditioning, all the great design features and interesting technology that's been incorporated into the design, I think is going to have a huge impact on, in terms of our brand, in terms of what people, how they feel about Cardinal football.
Yes, yes we do.
Work commenced on this 165-acre West Valley site in July of 2003 with design builder Hunt Construction Group at the helm. The owner, Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority, and primary tenant, the Arizona Cardinals, would be in good hands. Steady hands. Hunt, the nation's number one sports facility builder, went about its business of building a landmark.
But you have to put together the team because the desert's going to challenge you.
It's a proof that you can bring together high design, sports architecture, an aggressive budget, a dual ownership, put it all in one place, put it all under the Hunt umbrella, and we can deliver on time and on budget.
So whoever these Hunt guys are, they were up for the challenge of what to do in 120-degree heat, which is what they're dealing with right now.
Without a doubt, Cardinal Stadium is the new benchmark in stadium design and construction. This bold and innovative venue has the size and capacity of a major outdoor stadium with the features and functionality of an arena. It truly is one of a kind. The retractable roof panels open and close on an incline, a first. The rollout field retractable roof combo, a first. These two key features give the Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority a multi-dimensional facility that offers a total of 63,500 fixed seats with a mega event capacity of 72,800 seats.
72,000 people can sit in the blazing heat of the desert in an air-conditioned stadium with natural grass on the inside. They did it.
These aren't construction techniques that you just pick up off the shelf. This had never been done before. Somebody had to manage that work and deliver on that promise, and Hunt did it.
Site work included a stadium building footprint of 25 acres. 860,000 cubic yards of dirt was moved. Approximately 100,000 cubic yards of concrete was poured, and that's inside the structure. Four main super columns support the Brunel trusses. There's 11,000 tons of rebar on six levels.
I thought it was amazing coincidence. I'm talking about A Horse With No Name, written by a guy named Dewey Bunnell, and he's talking about Bunnell trusses. They have nothing to do with each other. But talk about random things in life. Bunnell and Brunel.
This superstructure's aesthetics were designed by Peter Eisenman of New York City. Designer H.O.K. of Kansas City was in charge of functionality and structure. Designer Pentagram, also out of New York, handled suite interiors and graphics. And M.E. Engineers out of Denver was in charge of mechanical, electrical, plumbing. The shape of the stadium, a barrel cactus wrapped by a snake, was the vision of Peter Eisenman.
A barrel cactus and a snake. That's their inspiration to make this stadium grow out of the desert.
The stadium was voted already one of the 10 best stadiums in the world by Business Week magazine before it even opened.
Wow.
So it clearly strikes a chord with Mr. Everybody.
The process for building a stadium, it was always a racetrack and a donut to move around the building when you construct it. But because of the familiarity, I've seen very different approaches taken to a building where you work on four sides of the building, you work on two sides, go vertically, and then work on other aspects. And so Hunt as an organization has really been able to think in different ways about that.
So interesting. How do you approach the building process? As a sculptor in marble who's fascinated by Michelangelo, you learn a lot by looking at those sculptures that he left unfinished, because it teaches you as the viewer of how he created the David, the finished one. But you start to analyze in the unfinished ones how he started at the block of marble, working all sides, just like they're building this stadium, is how Michelangelo, with a hammer and a chisel, worked on all sides at the same time in sculpting those figures busting out of the rock.
The unique rollout natural grass playing field is contained in a single tray that weighs 18.9 million pounds. It's 234 feet wide and 403 feet long. Rolled in on game days, the field will offer the preferred natural grass playing surface. Rolled out for the remaining 350 days of the year, the field will receive sunlight and water. The field tray is powered by electronic motors mounted on steel wheels riding on steel tracks, similar to railroad technology.
Just the functionality of the structure. One of those folks they mention, they brought in a designer, an architect, to talk about functionality. It's not so much that it looks pretty like a barrel cactus with a snake wrapped around it, like the desert, but it also has to work. But you got to battle the desert, that heat.
The tracks are embedded in the concrete stadium floor. The field rolls in or out of the stadium in just 1 hour. The retractable roof is another construction milestone. The two large retractable panels open and close on an arch. The panels are made of bird air fabric, allowing light to penetrate a closed roof, offering an open, airy feel. Also, when closed, the retractable roof allows for an air-conditioned environment, maximizing comfort in this state-of-the-art facility. When open, the stadium takes advantage of Arizona's famous sunshine, a bonus during fall and winter season football games.
Did you hear him say it's called bird air fabric? You learn from who survives in the desert when you actually want to build a football stadium in the desert.
An impressive building comes with some impressive numbers. 36 months of construction, approximately 600 skilled tradesmen and women each day.
Wow.
10,000 metal panels on the exterior skin, each one 3 inches thick. Tongue and groove assembly, 21 glazed slots in the skin to allow for additional natural light and a view to the outside. Two Brunel trusses, each weighing 1,700 tons, 700 feet long, and 87 feet tall. The trusses, of course, support the retractable roof.
When he says 600 workers each day, it reminds me of Mount Rushmore, which you all need to visit. Gutzon Borglund, the sculptor of Mount Rushmore, hired over 400 ranchers and miners and made them into artists. He couldn't do it himself. He couldn't blow up the dynamite by himself. He needed workers. But he needed the workers to be artists. And that's the magic of Mount Rushmore. Over 400 men working on that mountain. Not one fatality, not one serious injury. You got to have the brains behind that project. And that's exactly what happened here to do battle with the desert.
The 5,600-ton roof lift is the heaviest ever roof lift in North America.
Wow.
8 hydraulic jacks, each with 54 cables inside, were used to raise the roof 130 feet.
Wow.
The lift took 4 days and ranks as one of the top construction feats in the world in 05. There are 700 sports lights, 1 million watts of lighting altogether, 8,000 tons of air conditioning.
You better have air conditioning, because that's how you can beat the challenge and cohabitate and coexist in the blazing hot Arizona desert. It's magical in art, in sports, in my world of surgery as well. Coming up next, I'm going to take you into surgery. What a week I had. It was fascinating. Hips, knees, shoulders. Did surgery on a young woman basketball player. Did surgery on an older woman whose hips died because the circulation failed. It's called avascular necrosis. We're going to explain what all that is. Oh, and the knee surgeries I did yesterday. I don't know how you guys run around. Your knee is like a pretzel. That's how deformed it was. But it sure is nice to be a sculptor. Because with the tools that I have in the operating room, I get to be like Michelangelo with his marble. We'll get into it. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Didn't you get the memo?
Quickly here, Clapper's crazy kitchen stories. Easily find different callers, aches and pain issues.
Right, I get it.
Search Weekend Warrior in the search bar and click on Doc's picture.
Who are you again?
Voila! Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
This is Keyshawn in the Morning. My man, Dr. Clapper, and the Weekend Warrior Show starts your Saturday morning. Join the Doc from 7 to 9 a.m.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Google the Guggenheim.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN. 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
This is Buster Poindexter, but his name also was David Johansen. And he was in the Dolls, I think, from New York, the New York Dolls. This guy's had a hell of a career musically. Leave it to Steve Paulette to find this. Hot, hot, hot. That's the desert. Well, happy Father's Day to all the Weekend Warriors who happen to be fathers. I'll leave you with another gem from Abraham Clapper, my dad. He said to me, Robbie, it's not so much that I love your mother. He used to say, it's that I like her. So for all of you wondering, should I marry this girl? Should I just keep dating this girl? Is she the right one? Remember the words of wisdom this Father's Day from my dad, Abraham Clapper. You want your marriage to last. The love is great, but you actually want to like her.
Damn right.
That's right, Kobe Bryant. Abraham Clapper. We're going to talk about him all show long. Tell a few stories about, I'm sure I've told it many times before, but I'm going to tell it again down the line, about him in Germany in World War II when a deer came out of the woods. I got to save that one for later. All right, let's do the clinic. The number's 877-710-ESPN. Who do we have here? Who do you want me to talk to, Steve? Tracy. Tracy, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. Thank you.
You're welcome. How young are you? What do you do for a living?
I'm 59, but about 4 years ago, I had to retire. I would do facials, but I couldn't lean over anymore to do the facial while I'm sitting because my back would go out.
59 years old. When's your birthday?
December 29th.
You're going to be 60. What are you going to do on your 60th birthday?
Whew. You know what, Dr. Clapper? If I'm well, if my back is well, I'll just be happy with that.
You did. You're damn right. That's all that really matters. Tell me a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? What did your father do for a living?
Okay, I grew up in it's called View Park, California, and my father was in music management
really?
For a group called Weather Report.
Oh, I remember Weather Report. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
And your mom? Mom work?
Yeah. She was a paralegal here in Beverly Hills.
Who made dinner at night when you were growing up? Your dad or your mom?
Well, both.
Really?
Both.
What was the greatest thing? If you could close your eyes right now, what would be the dish that you'd want your mother or your father to make?
They used to grill steaks. Sometimes,
so,
yeah.
So you put steak sauce on it, or you just put salt and pepper on it?
I think we put steak sauce. But actually, you know what? You know what? It was the curry chicken that my father made.
Curry chicken?
That was curry chicken in a pot. One pot with a lot of onions, garlic, and very little water, and it made it like that's what he made most of the time.
Curry chicken.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was he from that he learned how to make curry chicken?
Well, I don't know. He's from Mississippi originally, but he grew up most of the time here. And then went into the Navy and
Mississippi.
I don't
know. Did he tell you stories about his childhood?
Yeah. They were pretty. The family was close, but he was in the South back in the 30s. So
when it wasn't fun to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He saw a lot. He saw a lot of
racism.
Yeah.
And bad stuff.
Hanging. Death.
Did he tell you he saw lynchings?
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
He saw something. Yeah.
He probably didn't want to talk about it, but when he did, man, it must have been such a glimmer in his eye. He must have been so happy to be the hell out of Mississippi. Good for him. God bless him.
And then to
go into the music business, to be in a creative field. God, he had like a roller coaster of a life from the depths of horrible to the highs of being creative. Good for your dad.
Yeah, that's my daddy.
That's exactly right.
Oscar Cadell, I love him. I love him so much.
Oh. Is he still alive or he passed away?
He's still alive. I'm looking forward to all of us. His daughters, his son, which is my husband, we're all going down. He's in San Bernardino.
Wow.
So we're going to go see him tomorrow.
Tell him Happy Father's Day from Dr. Clapper. That would really be great. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
What's his first name?
Oscar.
Tell him Dr. Clapper says hi to Oscar. That's fantastic. All right, how can I help you, young lady? Tell me what's up. What hurts?
Dr. Clapper, I love you. Okay, listen.
Thank you.
Thank you. I met you before, but I'm not going to go through that. But anyway, me and my husband, we met you, but I'm not going to talk. Okay. So I called you over a year ago, and
yes.
I was telling you about this hip pain, and it goes down to my leg, and I had da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so we thought maybe it could have been infection that was left in my leg. So I had the test done to rule out infection. I had MRI.
Mm-hmm. Okay, of your lower back, I hope.
Lower back and hip.
And hip, okay.
Mm-hmm. And of my femur.
Okay.
Just to see, because it's so much pain, I cannot sit. So I can't sit because of my lower back. But if I get in a position where I am sitting and I'm leaning, then my leg, my femur, the back, it's excruciating. I have to stand up. So my best position is standing and walking or laying down with my knees up.
So there's a fancy schmancy term in medicine we call claudication. And what that means is exactly what you're describing, that the comfortable position is actually to be standing. But we never know or we wonder, is the claudication that people have described as radiating pain, is it coming from a nerve or is it coming from bad circulation? Is it vascular claudication or is it neurologic claudication? So I'm going to give you a secret, how you can diagnose which of the two it is. So when a person tells me they have pain when they start getting around that goes down their legs, and if they say, but when I sit down, it immediately goes away, then that is vascular claudication, because changing position affects the pipe, the blood supply, and it's relieved. So when the claudication goes away by just sitting down, instantly it's vascular. When you cannot really get away, you start walking and now you get more of that pain down your leg, that claudication, and you just can't get away from it. You can't relieve it just by sitting down. It lingers. Then that's neurologic. So if yours is lingering, it's neurologic. And that's what it sounds like for you. Yeah, you need to have a workup. You need to make sure the infection is gone. Is the infection was in your femur? Where was the infection?
Pardon?
Where was the infection that you had?
It was inner left thigh abscess.
You need to make sure, you need an updated MRI of that area to make sure it's clear. There are blood tests that you can do, something called a C-reactive protein. You need to get in the hands of a good infectious disease doctor who can work it up to make sure it's clean and clear. Before you start talking about treatment, you really need to firm up, where is it coming from? Coming from your hip or coming from your lower back? There's ample studies that can help figure that out, but you're going to need a good person to kind of figure out where it's coming from. There's a great smart guy at Cedars. You got a pencil? I'm going to give you his name.
I'm ready.
His name is Neil, N-E-E-L, Neil Anand, A-N-A-N-D. He's one of the smartest people you're ever going to meet. And if anybody can figure out, is it coming from your thigh or coming from your back, he's going to figure it out. You call him, tell him you are sent by Dr. Clapper from the Weekend Warrior Show. He'll get all excited. But that guy will figure out what's going on with you. And he's a spine expert as well, so he can take care of it at the same time. And thanks so much for the kind words. And tell Oscar, happy Father's Day.
Oh, gosh, I wish he was listening. Okay,
young lady. Thanks for calling. God bless you. Okay. All right. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. The lines are all lit up. Steve Paulette, can't wait to hear the music you're going to play. Is it going to be about the desert, America, or is it going to be about Father's Day? I leave this totally up to you. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show every Saturday morning at 710 ESPN.
Thank you, Clapper. I love you.
Get smart.
Just what are you getting at?
Check out the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Like this.
Medical advice from Cedars-Sinai, head of orthopedic surgery.
Are you kidding?
With a Far Rockaway attitude and a little drizzle of mozzarella.
Well, it's important to me.
Search Weekend Warrior in the space bar.
Like this.
And click on Doc's picture.
I see.
Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
It's John Ireland. You know there is no better way to start your Saturday than with the man who replaced Michael Thompson's hip, Dr. Clapper and the Weekend Warrior Show, 7 to 9 a.m. Saturday mornings.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
The best entertainer. Forget going to the movies.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
So the Clapper was looking at the Flapper. Can you imagine how cool that was?
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Happy Father's Day. That soundbite before about the Flapper was the day when I was 8 years old. My dad said, Robbie, come on, we're going to go fix the toilet. I look, I don't want to fix the toilet. I'm 8 years old. Leave me alone. Nope, he said to me, you're going to have to make a decision in your life. I said, I'm 8 years old. What decision am I making? My decision is, am I going to have tuna fish or peanut butter and jelly for lunch? That's what I'm up for as a decision. No, he said, Robbie, we're going to go fix this toilet, and I'm going to teach you how to fix the toilet because you are going to have to make a decision in life. I said, okay, Dad, what's the decision? Are you going to be the master of your home, or are you going to let your home be the master of you? I said, Dad, we're Jewish. We don't fix things. He said, yes, we do. And my father taught me what a flapper was in a toilet. And now I'm a flapperologist. That's how good I am. Dr. Clapper knows everything about the flapper in the toilet. Thanks to Abraham Clapper, my father. So happy Father's Day. All right, let's go to the clinic. The numbers, the lines are all lit up. I won't even give the number. Let's go to, let's see, Stephen, Frank, Brett. Let's go to Brett in Harbor City. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Okay, Dr. Clapper, happy Father's Day and all the great things you do at the hospital there.
Thank you, Brett. So how young are you? What do you do for a living?
Okay, so I'm 64. I was a longshoreman for 22 years.
Did you, were you taught as a longshoreman, this I learned from my father, that if you pick something up and it's rusty, a nail, a crate, and it cuts your hand, that immediately you should pee on your hand because urine is sterile? Did you ever get taught that as a longshoreman?
You taught me. You taught me over the radio.
I love it. Yeah. All right, how can I help? What's up with you, Brett?
Okay, so I'm a sportsman. I like to play pickleball. Do you play pickleball, doctor?
The only pickles I like have garlic and vinegar, and I eat them. I don't know from pickleball. I'm a surfer.
Okay, so, you know, I'm active to where when you're active, and there could be times where you're not just standing still. You have to be moving. Mm-hmm. You're in motion. You're going to work that joint, that hinge, a little bit more than if you're just, you know, maybe sitting around playing computer games.
Got it.
The point that I bought some compression socks to increase my blood circulation because I am diabetic, type 2. And so the blood circulation is helping. It's bringing more oxygen to the tissues and to the joints. And before I wasn't doing that, I was having, you know, some minor, like after I would do some sports activities and I would play like for a couple hours, you know, it could be pickleball, basketball. I would notice that I would have some kind of inflammation in that area, some pain.
In what area? Your knee?
Yeah, my left knee.
Got it. So let me, you're interested. What did your father do for a living? Where did you grow up?
Well, this is a great story. My father actually, he was an American, like, athlete. He played basketball for Maryland University. You ever heard of Coach Gene Shue?
Yes.
He was the coach for the Bullets.
Yes.
He was involved with basketball, but then he went to South America, which was really amazing. And he brought up all of these great athletes in South America and all these great countries. He started all these great basketball programs.
Gene Shue did. Now, how is Gene Shue your dad?
No, I wish he was. No, no. My father
played for him.
He was a great athlete, and then his father was a professional hockey player.
Really?
Played for the New York Rangers.
Now, how did you become a longshoreman? Why did that happen? How did that happen?
This is a great story. You know, it's like the circles that you go in. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're surfing out there, and you're a surf bum, and a surf bum comes up to you and says, hey, you know what? You got to start, you know, carrying your weight a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to start buying me tacos and buying me beer. You know what? There's a job where you can make... You can make like $44 an hour, and you know what? I'm gonna be your coach. I'm gonna be your mentor. And so this guy, he was a tennis player, pickleball player, and like 25 years ago, he said, "Hey, look it, you've had all these lame jobs. I want you to get a real job, young man." So he got me into it. He coached me. He was my mentor. You got to have a mentor, Dr. Clapper.
Yeah.
And he pushed me in the right direction.
I keep looking for my mentor, but I have yet to find a guy who sculpts, who does surgery, who surfs, who invents things, who writes books, who's on the radio. I can't seem to find a guy to be my mentor. But
maybe
along the way,
journey.
Along the way, each
journey.
Of those,
that's what's gonna happen.
Each of those professions, life. You got to find someone who can guide you. But in the end, what I think you finally learned, Brett, is there is no mentor. You got to be the mentor of your own life. And that's what you ultimately have to come to grips with one day. You are here by yourself, and you got to figure it out, but enjoy the ride. Buckle your seatbelt, challenge yourself, because otherwise it ain't fun. It isn't fun unless you challenge yourself and then you can succeed. Do me a favor, Brett. Don't let anybody inject cortisone into your knee. Don't let them put stem cells or any needles of any kind, Synvisc. Stay away. Be holistic. There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees, all about the pool and the bike and exercise. Pickleball's great. I'm glad that you're active and your diabetes really needs it. But that's an abuse, and I'm not saying not to play pickleball. That's the fun that you want to have in life. But the mistake most people make is they just do the abuse, and then they end up in my office and they need surgery. I don't want pills. I don't want shots. But what I want you to do is spend your week doing nurturing exercises, the pool, the bike, the elliptical. Every day, do one of them, not the same thing every day. Alternate it. That'll allow your quadriceps, your hamstring, your calf muscles to be strong, just like a better shock absorber protecting the joint, the cartilage inside your knee, and you'll have less of these episodes. Yeah, you can wear a sleeve. You can do minor things like that, modifying your shoe wear. Things like that make sense to me. But in the end, Father Time is there. If it becomes swollen, you're limping, and it's painful, then get it checked out. Get an exam. Get an x-ray. You may need an MRI. People who fail the holistic conservative treatment, yeah, that's why I'm a busy surgeon. We can fix a lot of things. You don't have to be tortured with it. But first, you always want to try to avoid surgery by making the strength in the muscles that much stronger. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a point on all those bullet points that you gave me. Is what I'm going to listen to, and I thank you for the show and keep helping more people.
Thank you very much, Brett. God bless you and happy Father's Day to you and yours.
God bless you, sir.
All right, Warriors. Coming up next, the top of the hour, I'm going to tell some stories because my guest at 8:15, I cannot wait to talk to him, is an expert about something that I don't know anything about. The desert. How do these animals survive? What is it that we're looking at? The greenery. Yeah, there is some green. How do those plants do it? And when you look at the night sky, what should we be looking at? Can you imagine all the things we're going to learn from David Smith, the superintendent for Joshua Tree? But coming up next, we're going to learn about the desert and its magic in art and in sports. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
Right, King James?
Absolutely.
And good to be courtly friends on the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
I love it.
Be treated like medical royalty with Clappervision.
Clappervision.
Feast like a monarch on Doc's delectable finds.
There we go.
And that far rockaway jester humor. Search Weekend Warrior and click on Doc's regal picture.
Cool.
Sound the trumpets. No cortisone, alchemy, or leeches here.
Everything's good.
Bow, curtsy, like or follow the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
That makes me happy.
Cheers.